When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, listen.
Bingo, bango, sugar in the gas tank.
Your ex-husband strikes again.
Everyone our age knows that soundbite.
That's the best one.
Speaking of, we mentioned last episode we taped, I don't care which order the audience hears it in.
Oh, good.
This game called Dust, A Tale of the Wired West. And there's a sound you make whenever you enter the shop to sell or buy stuff that is wind chimes going ding, ding, da-ding, ding, da-ding, ding, ding. And that exact sound has played in my head a couple times a day for 30 years.
Are you serious?
It's like a sound effect that is stuck in my head. It's also kind of a Wilhelm scream because I hear it used in shows and movies as chimes. It must just be a studio,
like library, it's part of a sound library.
Sound. Yeah.
It could be that. It could be it's a sound library. I mean, hearing things in your head is an appropriate intro and a professionally executed one.
As always,
no, but to the game we're going to be talking about today, which is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, or Senua. How do you pronounce your name? Is it Senua?
I've heard Senua most often.
Okay, Senua. That's me too. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, a tremendous, I think you can call it, indie game that is supposedly receiving a sequel that deals very famously with some mental health issues, and we're going to be talking about all those issues as we cover the hell out of this game. You want to snap right into format, Mike, and get into Tell Me Like I'm 8-Bit? Do you feel like doing that piece, or should I do it?
I don't care who does it as long as we pass a checkpoint first, which means the black oil of complete hopeless despair has made its way to our heart, and
it
we
really
collapse
has.
In the madness.
And so much whispering, so much oaken whispering. Just, you can't do it, Michael. So
but
much
first,
of that.
The backstory. I'm curious to. I'll say this.
Yeah.
I worked at IGN for 3 years as a video creator. If you're interested, I did an in-depth video on Senua's Sacrifice, and you can go check it out there. It is basically a longer version of what I think Adam should do, because I already done it. Google it.
Okay, great. Then I guess I will do it. So here we go. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice is a 2017 action-adventure game. It was released by Ninja Theory. It is... essentially a story of a young Viking woman who is journeying into hell ostensibly to recover her dead lover. As she does so, she encounters various obstacles, most of which seem like they are related to her mental illness. And I say mental illness because the game eventually sort of makes it very clear it is a mental illness issue, that there is a metaphor for mental illness going on in this game. She's hearing voices. She doesn't know who to listen to. And all of the challenges seem to slowly reveal some of the backstory that led her to this point as she comes to confront just sort of her lost faith in her society, specifically her father and the religion of their society with the gods and stuff, and grieves over the irretrievable loss of this young man who was killed by invaders. It very much takes place in a Norse mythological setting, and I would say is more grounded in a lot of ways than, say, like God of War, but drawing on similar
you
imagery.
Say that like that's not easy to say. Yes, yeah, it's, yeah. It's more grounded.
But it's drawing on similar imagery and certainly similar stories even. In fact, it tells some of the same stories. And that was kind of fun about it. And it was a big hit. It's not a very long game. It's between 8 and 12 hours, I want to say. And it was a surprise hit. I believe it was an Xbox exclusive. Is that true? No, it was not. It was on PlayStation 2.
Nah.
Okay, great. But it's what it's self-described as an independent AAA game. It does feel like that. And we're going to see a sequel soon. And that's it. Now you're educated. Have I missed anything, Mike? Is there
Well, you
fact?
Can't force that on me.
Watch me. Watch me force it on you. Is there anything you want to add to it, to the summary?
I guess just because I'd rather get into the meat of it immediately, but gameplay is mostly walking around doing puzzles that are like
visual
lining
puzzles.
Runes up.
Yeah.
Or a thing that keeps disappearing, you follow it, kind of like the Lost Woods in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Or you
like
basically
that.
Figure out what you need to look at or what you need to follow or how you need to proceed by climbing or walking around.
And some
and then
combat.
There's combat sections that have your basic Elden Ring, like slash, power up and slash, roll
and
out
block.
Of the way, block.
Yeah.
Don't get hit too much, but nothing more complex. It's not like Ghost of Tsushima. There's no stances. There's no, you know, that's about it.
That's correct.
All righty.
Okay.
Then we pass another checkpoint.
Yeah.
Which means we've defeated Surtur, the king of lies.
Flame skulled Surtur.
Or is that the flame guy? I don't know. There's two.
That's the flame guy.
Okay.
That's the flame guy.
What's the name of the raven liar? The mind twister.
I forgot her name. His name. But he has the really cool symbol that looks like it's like a like three curved little scimitars or something. It's really awesome.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started on the cool.
Well, do get me started, because it's my turn to rant, so I guess get me started.
Okay.
Yank that lawnmower cord.
Here we go.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. This is where we give our hot takes on the game. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Feed me grass, or I will die. this is a one of the more coherent rants I'll have.
Oh, good.
I don't mean to mention it constantly, but I don't know. It hopefully is a life-changing thing for me, so people tend to mention stuff like that, at least in the afterglow of it. But I have struggled with mental health challenges myself. A couple things come to mind. When I was a kid, we all gave big reports, and mine was on depression and what it feels like and how I struggle with depression ever since car accident when I was a kid, so sustained brain damage. And I've had this mood disorder, and I do a podcast, Tales from the Pit, about this. And I just am realizing as a thread how powerful, you know, our friend Abe has like father-son stuff for, I'm sure, whatever psychological reason. But one for me, for obvious reasons, is when media depicts especially mental health challenges that are similar to my own with unerring accuracy or uncanny insight, so powerful to me because I feel so seen, and being not alone in that kind of struggle is huge for people, right? So I think even more than people who don't struggle themselves with it. Mental disorder shit totally clicks with me. One of my favorite shows in the last 10 years is Patriot. That's about like, what if a spy thriller, but the guy has serious mental disorder and not in a gamified way, which is how media usually does it. It's a bar that fills up, or they're crazy like the Joker, but actual insight into what it's like to struggle with mental illness. And this game not only does that, but it posits like something I think of frequently. What it would be like to be, she seems to have a palette of things, but probably schizoaffective disorder in some way. What would it be like to be schizophrenic, to hear voices that other people don't hear and see things that other people don't see? In ancient times, when people didn't know what the sun was and they believed God lived in that forest over there and stuff, witchcraft comes from stuff like this. But then there's also cultures where there's evidence that people like this were seers, were revered as shamans or having a special ability. And this game tackles that with a sophistication that's never really been rivaled in gaming. And that was kind of the selling point. Like, the opening credits mention multiple mental health professionals who consulted and helped write the game. And like cultural and historical Norse mythologists who I Googled and who are like renowned, right? Like, they hired all the best people to try and make an adult sophisticated thing, was clearly their intention. Like, seriously dealing with mental health issues. So I mentioned my own history because, of course, it hits me even more. And that's to couch what I'm going to say next. And then I was going to go, oh, but that's okay. Replaying it this time, it's so tight and concise. I had a profound experience with it because I just went through for the first time in my life this intense partial hospitalization program where I learned a bunch of psychological skills. And I'm entering this new phase of my life with a lot of hope about making new skills stick and being a new person and having so much more joy and gratitude and happiness in my life on a more regular basis because of these skills I learned. And so obviously I'm like primed to play this game at this exact time. So this is all to soften the blow of me saying, I think this is now the best story, best told story in gaming, period. Better than The Last of Us.
Whoa. Okay.
Like,
wow.
The way the mental health issues are explored, like the analogs, and the way that it slowly develops into talking to her mother, projected on the rocks, and the fact that you learn this backstory that's really powerfully and like really groundedly written, that's so stylish. Like, you fall to the black and your reflection becomes Dillian and he speaks to you, and you slowly understand the whole story. You get transported to these other realms that represent very clear things that are going on in your situation. The chorus of voices is so well written and performed, and there's not— and this makes— we'll talk about the gameplay. I'm talking about the story only, which of course is a big piece for me. But there's no filler because there's way less gameplay. There's not hours of, and then we kill 1,000 guys, which kind of to me is something every game does, and it does break the groundedness. This game really feels grounded. Like, everything that's happening could happen in real time to a person, especially when you consider that the combat is figments of her imagination. Probably. The ending to me is powerfully moving. The fact that it is the crumbling ash person that represents trauma, and it pans down and she lets go of Dillian's head, which represents her trauma, and it pans up and it's her again. There are like storytelling and visual moves in this that I think would stand up in film. This would make a great movie. And the fact that the developers have said that this was just basically a proof of concept for the game they want to make, which is called Senua's Saga, and is going to be a vast open world game through this lens, I'm like, I think this is the IP that I'm now most excited about in my life. Like, this is now it for me. Senua's Saga is like, I'm putting all my chips on that for the next leg of what's important to me in gaming. But as I said, it's because of all these reasons that it totally speaks to me. It's also, if you've seen some of the Senua's Saga stuff, they're on the cutting edge of face capture and acting technology in a way that like L.A. Noire tried to be when it came out, and Aloy's trying to be. And I think they're the best at it. Naughty Dog is also incredible at getting emotion onto simulated faces. But the Senua's Saga shit it looks absolutely real. And like the ogre standing up that's like made of a mountain is just, the visuals are staggering to me, everything about it. I like that it's more grounded and gritty and grim. Playing through it this time made me go, oh yeah, God of War is like a cartoon. Like God of War is ridiculous now to me after having played through Senua's Saga. That's my rant.
Oh, okay. I am deeply regretting letting you go first because player two, Adam Ganser, coming in, and I'm going to be straight up. I am not going to lie about my experience with this game, but I want everyone out there to know that, I do appreciate that there are people out there who this game matters a lot to, right? And Mike is one of them. Okay. So I just need to say that up top.
It matters so much that I'm bulletproof. Like, it doesn't matter what it means.
Okay, great.
You, you know?
I'm so glad to hear that, because I hated this game. I really did not like it. I didn't enjoy it.
Although I got to ask, and then I'll let you do your rant.
Thank
you.
How
come before we started taping, you said you thought I'd love this episode?
Because I think this episode's going to be, it's going to favor your point of view a lot more than mine. And I think we're going to end up probably leaning more toward where you are than where I am, because...
But not all the way. All right.
Not all the way.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So I'll tell you what I mean by I hated this game. I don't think this is a bad game. I want that to be very clear. I actually think it's a good game. I did not have any fun playing it. I found it extremely miserable. It's a very miserable experience. Now, it's miserable on purpose, because it's about a person going through extreme torment and through mind-breaking torment with their own mental illness to kind of come to terms with what has happened to them. And they've done an incredible job at rendering that experience. I don't have personal experience with it, but it has the ring of authenticity. They've done incredible performance stuff, like Mike said. They've done really cool visualizations of that world and the architecture and structure of that world and what it might look like. I played a little bit of this game when it came out in 2017, so before the graphics have advanced to the point of God of War Ragnarok, and I thought at that time this game was astounding looking. Like now it doesn't quite look as sharp or as beautiful as some of the more recent AAA games that have come out, but this game was gorgeous and cool looking when it came out, and it still holds up. It's just not very fun. That's what my ultimate critique of it. And I know that critique is that some people are going to instantly be enraged with me about it. Okay, but like honestly, it's not very fun. The combat is not very good. The puzzles I actually liked quite a bit, but you're sort of constantly drowning in this painful, vague, obtuse whispering that is miserable and uncomfortable. Now, as an artistic experience, that has tremendous value. As a piece of art, this game has tremendous value because it's achieving something that few people would try and even fewer would succeed at. And it has absolutely done that. Absolutely, it has captured in a meaningful way the process of mental illness. My problem with it is that I don't want to have that experience as a gamer. I don't want to have that experience. It's like, I'll put it to you this way, and I'm not invalidating it as art. As a game, I don't want to be miserable. Like if somebody came out with Crucifixion Simulator 5000 and was like, it's really like that. It's really like getting crucified. I'd say, sure, I don't want to play that. That's not a fun thing to experience. And while that would be less meaningful to many than this game is, because this game does meaningfully render a terrible, miserable experience that many human beings have, that's still not fun. Like, it's still not a fun thing to do. And I get it. Not all games need to be fun. And I get it that that art has a responsibility to portray the dark as well as the light. And this game's absolutely doing that. And I can't take it away from that. And I want to spend as much of the episode as we can talking about the meaning behind what they're attempting to do. But I just got to be honest with you guys. It isn't fun. It's not fun. And it's not actually very deep as a game experience either. And I think that video games have some obligation to entertain. I do think that. This game did not meet those obligations, in my opinion. Now, perhaps the artistic obligations to say something meaningful surpass that. I know that's what Mike would argue. I think I would argue it too, as a filmmaker. But I just got to represent the other side, and I feel like I've done that. Please don't hear me diminishing your emotional experience with this game if you loved it. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying it's not fun. That's my rant.
Actually, I disagree with you way less than I anticipated. I think a fair thing we'll have to discuss is it's such a good, tight story. It would make such a good movie. In other words, why isn't
talk
it
about
just
that.
A movie?
I want to talk about that.
It could just be a movie. There's almost less of an argument for it being a game.
We should talk about that.
Yeah. So on the other side of the break, a vast ship heads land ho. I don't know. We'll be back.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
All right. We're here on the land.
Hey, just like that. We're here.
Still podcasting.
Yeah.
We passed another checkpoint, which means we're pulling like a lightsaber from a tree.
We're walking through a portal and we're seeing there's a bridge there where there wasn't before.
Or something I love about the game, just to kick the conversation off.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only games or pieces of media that treats Vikings like the fucking horrifying monsters
it does.
That they must have been to encounter.
I agree.
Instead of anti-heroes where it's cool to be a pirate, it's cool to be a Viking.
Right.
The Vikings in this are like they're big men who come and rape people and burn your house down.
And
they're not like...
They traumatize...
They're monsters.
Yeah, they traumatize the existing communities that have no other protection, and that's what happened. The Northmen tried to have its cake and eat it too. That was a movie that came out a year or so ago.
Where they're like, hey, we did one rape and pillage scene.
Yeah, we pillaged.
He strangled that
lady. We did
lady.
It. Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, it's now we're going to do Hamlet, basically.
Yeah.
So I feel like we should spend some time celebrating the game a little bit. But then we want to hit the parts where we don't agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can I just stipulate right up top? As an artistic endeavor to render mental health, I've never seen a better piece of media than this, I don't think. Have you? Can you think of one?
Other than that GameCube one where you go crazy and see shit. I forget what
it's
called.
Was that Eternal Darkness?
Sanity's Requiem. No.
That is the one we're talking about, right? Eternal Darkness?
Yeah. Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. No,
I mean,
but I kid,
that was a
obviously.
Bit. Yeah, obviously.
Okay. Yes, I think so. Well, I guess I'll save it. So the part where we disagree is immediately the most interesting to me. But yes, right. And I want to add, it's done with such love.
It really is.
It's done in the sensible way that the writer in me loves, yeah. Where everything is accounted for as a plot element, meaning technically you play as a new voice in Senua's head, the voice of the trauma that's developed since Dillion was killed to help her see this quest through, and the chorus of voices in her head welcomes you, and they have differentiable personalities. One is your abuser voice, which I have, like the self-loathing voice is like a demonic voice.
Yeah, and, that one.
Only says that you're not going to make it and shit. And if you play this game with headphones, they're which separated.
Yeah.
They're stereo separated, and it's quite an effect. Everything is done with such love and thoroughness and attention to detail. To answer your question, yes. And that's what I'm like. The Last of Us story, I'll stop doing this now, remains incredible. But to me, there's something about the fact that in the middle, you play a bunch of video game levels that, of course, the show draws us. Like, that's the parts they cut, right? Because
right.
The show's... Right. And Senua's feels like a game that did cut those parts. Now, the trade-off is... So you're saying there's basically
say
no
didn't.
Gameplay.
I would say it didn't. But okay, continue. Because you're mostly right.
Too much... Yeah. Too much... Like, she kills a believable number of baddies to get through her... You know what I mean. Versus
yes.
The Last of Us.
Every combat sequence, the more grounded in reality than anything in Last of Us. I totally agree. But I... Like, they're all structured to be... connected to her mental suffering. Like, so it's all justifiable, whereas Last of Us is occasionally a video game. But I do want to make the point, right. Before we go any further, Last of Us is one of the rare games that makes meaning out of killing. And so we're not actually picking on the right game if we're going to undermine the gamification of things. There's so many other examples.
Well, my other point was I was so much more engaged in the... ending of Last of Us from like the hospital point
way
forward
more. Yeah,
because I don't mean then this, I'm saying then the rest of the game, like,
oh,
I didn't care that much that about the giraffes or the blah blah blah. The show actually rendered it in a way where I cared more about Henry, for example,
man,
than I did in the game. It just seemed like a thing that happened.
Everybody's saying that right now. I don't feel that way, but okay,
interesting.
Yeah,
and then the Last of Us climax is so astoundingly clever and such a good twist, but like a subtle internal twist that feels so adult and sophisticated and trusts you to read subtext and shit, that I immediately go, well, that's the best game story of all time. And I see a lot of reasons I stand behind that, but this is the last time I'll mention it. But Senua's, because of the subject matter, I must admit, I'm that engaged in from beginning to end. And I don't want people to think that it's only the voices. They manifest... so many analogies that are spot on.
They do.
Like, that is what it feels like to be depressed,
right?
And depressive, and in the way like she sees situations and tackles situations. At one point, Dillion's head starts breathing again. Everything, like I said, it dumb before, but like she pulls the sword from the tree and it means something symbolically. Everything means something.
That was my favorite part of the game. By the way,
I love that.
I think part of the reason it was my favorite part of the game is because it's the one time you feel like you're building to something hopeful. The rest of the game, you really don't. Like, it is.
Except the end is
a wash in despair. Like, it is drowning in despair. No. I just want to.
It is.
As a tone, and that's what it is.
As we lavish praise on the story, I guess I should say, my one knock is that it does. This installment makes it feel like trauma, that mind-shattering trauma and mental illness can be resolved in one great cathartic act of like confronting the trauma, which I think even the mental health professionals involved would say, yes, that's an oversimplification of the process. Senua has years of work ahead of her if indeed she'll ever, you know, get in a healthy relationship with her mental illness. And then there's even more progressive people who would say her mental illness empowers her in this cultural context. That's, you know, who are we to judge? Or like, there's a lot of different takes on it, but I guess I would say that's my one thing that feels reductive. It's boring. It's not good storytelling, but finding your way out of that dark place is actually years of practice, like going to a mental gym. It's not like, you finally admit that you hate your father and now you're good.
Right. And now I know. Yeah, exactly. Now I know why I was sad. I agree. But if you don't do that, you don't have a game story. It's the problem of story structure as applied to this.
You have to encapsulate thing. In some way.
And like to me, it's like, look, if we're going to grant any license for art to have a structure that is pleasing, and to tackle the subject, I think that's an acceptable one. But I just want to get out there again as early as I can in the episode. I do not speak from a place of intimate knowledge about this level of mental health issues. I've had my own mental health issues, but they haven't been like this experience. So I'm going to be a bit of an outsider, and I'm going to be careful not to be too judgy about that. Like I'm just putting that out there now.
Sure.
I do have
to
a
be
little,
clear on the same yeah. front. I struggle with pretty extreme mood disorders, but right. not schizophrenia or hallucinations. Although
right.
It does run in my family, and I've had a lot of experience witnessing it.
Yeah. So I've seen a little bit of schizophrenia as well from a neighbor that I had a few years ago, and it was upsetting. So I want to be gentle if there's anybody out there who's listening to the episode and feels really connected to this property. I know you're there. I hear you. I see you. I'm not dismissing you with my objections to this game. So I want to start with the question of, is this story structure the best game story of all time? Which is that was your feeling about it, and I'll tell you my objection to it. Though I do think it's very good.
As you want to do, you're treating it objectively, and I'll have to note that I couch that very thoroughly.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
terms
it's
of
your opinion
for me.
Right,
yeah,
right. It's your
me.
Opinion, yeah. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying here's my counterpoint to that. See what you yeah. think of it. So. I think this game is one of the only ones that's justifiable for creating what I'll call a mystery box technique. You know, it's employing a mystery box technique. And what I mean by that is it's obscuring what the actual story is and slowly revealing the pieces of the story as you go through a process of mystery, vague hints at it. And the joy of it is realizing what the story is. It's a valid storytelling technique. To a degree, it's what every mystery is. To a degree, it's what every noir story is. But noir stories tend to be about revealing the crime, corruption. and there's still a layer of story where the character is processing it as they're going.
Sacrifice something personal as well,
right?
Yeah,
and so it sort of creates two experiences, if you will. Whereas this is sort of one primary experience, so you really are immersed in the mystery box of it. Mystery box is a difficult genre. It's not always successful. I find it often very frustrating. This is in the middle of great and frustrating to me. Like it has good reasons for it, but I do think it kind of goes on and on and on. I do think it has a little bit of like a Revenant quality. You know what I mean? You've seen the movie The Revenant, right?
Yep. Obviously love the craft and I
Me
love
too.
Nature porn and
Me
Leo's
too.
Great, but I have the same problem with it I have with Mandy, which is that if you break down the story beats, it's just you killed someone I love, I find you, I kill you. I'm like, that's not interesting enough.
And I would say this is not that different in that this is I lost somebody I love, I can't deal with it, now I can deal with it.
But I'm mentally ill.
Right.
Which makes it for me.
Which justifies it. Yeah. Again, it's justified. It's not like bad art where it's not, where the premise doesn't match the structure. It's just that the experience of it is frustrating and vague if you're not immensely connecting to the experience. Like if you're not like, I get this, I feel this way. You're like, oh
or
my
in
God,
awe
what are we doing?
Of it as art.
Right.
Like, you know, a part of me is also just like tipping my hat to, man, those crazy bastards did it.
They really
like,
they did
took
it.
Mental
yeah.
illness seriously and they treated it with respect. That's so hard to do in this medium. Good for you guys is an element as well, of course.
And they deserve that.
And, yeah.
They deserve
yeah,
that.
For, oh,
you know?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a huge accomplishment for that.
I do want to say that that does leave it with, so I would say it's at the cost of the gameplay because I guess because this is my second time through, I knew what to do all the time. So I did plow through the filler, quote unquote, not filler. Those are the parts you would call the game.
Right. The game.
Traditionally. But I mean, the parts in between the story I went through so quickly that to me, it felt almost like an unbroken like long movie, and I loved it that way. But I remember the first time it did take me longer to figure out some of the stuff. So you're right that if this were literally a movie, there'd be scenes where you're like, well, that's 20 minutes of nothing, cut that. So it's not a movie in the way that a video game isn't a movie, but it did do story at the cost of gameplay. And I will say, as much as I'm excited to see the universe, no, I ideally would be both. Okay. I want fun too.
Right.
I just can get by without it if story is, like, art is important to me.
No, for sure.
And to you, but I mean, it's addictive to me or something, or it can be enough that I'll overlook fun factor, as you know. But I'll just say, I said earlier that I'm super excited for Saga because I want to see it expanded, but I'll say in the same breath, they haven't really proven, like, I'm deeply concerned about, this has no RPG or upgrading elements at all, which you don't necessarily need. It makes it more grounded and realistic, right? Almost no HUD, all this stuff. But can that sustain a much longer, more epic game where you bunch of stuff?
I don't see how.
Because they're obviously committed to not gamifying it. But if you don't gamify it, then it can't be 50 hours long.
Then why are we doing it?
A game.
And what's the
thing? I worry about that for sure.
You know, yeah. I do. So like, yeah, that's my fear is like, okay, so I see every reason to pour horsepower into making this the best looking, best acted, best camera thing version of it. I see the reasons for that, but I don't know what story justifies a larger experience here.
Or what activity.
Yeah.
Exploration.
Either one. But you know what? Like, look, I'm going to be not a prick. I'm going to trust the artists who've done something interesting to keep doing something interesting and say, I'm excited to see that.
Definitely give it a shot.
You know, like we're going to get Call of Duty 50 this year. So, I'm okay with somebody trying something meaningful.
Saga slipping in
there.
Sure.
I'm okay with that. So that's fine. I guess to me, the question becomes, is an artistic experience enough for gamers to call this a great game? Like, do you feel the obligation? Do you feel game designers have an obligation to entertain at all? And do you think this game does that?
I feel that games currently, because I still feel like we're in the infancy of the medium, more or less.
Mm.
I feel like I, as a pop culture analyst or proselytizer, whatever you want to say, have an obligation to try and honor things which expand or stretch the boundaries of what the medium can do and prove that it's a medium just like literature or film that can do anything. So I favor novelty and like, well, you haven't seen that. You don't see that every day.
Right.
So for me, it's enough. And then in the same breath, if the guy next to me goes, it's just not fun, as he often does, because Adam's the guy next to me, I go, oh yeah, that's also true. Or sometimes I argue that it's not fun, it was fun enough for me. Not in this case. I see how it's not enough. I worry about it being longer. There's just not much gameplay here.
I want to talk about the parts of the gameplay that I thought were good, because there are some. So I think that almost all the puzzle conceits were really cool. Like the optical illusion conceit, it's sort of like, it's doing things that a lot of games have done where they sort of play with reality, like where, you know, from a certain angle, there's just things that exist in the space that didn't before. It's almost like a Far Cry fever dream, you know, because like they have so many of those. It's like you're playing one of those the entire game. And I think it's done really well, and the puzzles are fun and interesting. There are a lot of like perspective-based puzzles, or looking through the mirror, like Lens of Truth type stuff from Ocarina of Time. You know, like, so it's borrowing from some other places, but it's definitely constructed in a way that I felt was rewarding and basically never got tired of them. I kind of liked all the puzzles for the most part.
The puzzles are good, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's most of the game. And I think that I'd actually like to see a lot of games steal from these puzzles, because I think they're actually pretty cool. The combat is very bad, I think. And I'll say why. The main problem with it, aside from it being repetitive, is that they went to a super long lens, like from your character to the other character. So like how do I explain this from a filmmaking
hard
point of view?
Hard to gauge the distance.
It's really hard to gauge the distance because they've compressed the space with this super long lens, like a 75.
Man, the Vikings are so cool.
They
looking.
Are
Great
awesome
design.
Looking. No question. The character designs are awesome. But because they've compressed the space and the camera's really tight on you, like you're in a tight medium, it gets hard to judge how far away you are from things. And to compound that, they're constantly introducing enemies behind you. And the only warning you ever get, because there's no HUD in this game, is a whispering voice in your ear telling you, duck, or like, block it out behind you. And like you start to learn how to like hear those voices when they're helping you. But again, the game really does drown you in bad stimuli for a while. So it feels like you get no tutorials for anything. You know, even
though I also
have
a really fast
some.
Brain and intrusive looping thoughts, and like I'm getting tested for ADHD and stuff, so I'm like, that's what it's like.
I believe it is. It's,
the voices never stop.
Completely, completely, my friend. And it gives me new compassion for your life. It really did. I was thinking of you the whole time. I don't mean that in a condescending way. I hope that didn't come across that way.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it really gave me some new compassion
loving.
For your situation. I don't have that exact experience, and I found it very unpleasant. I was like, I don't want to deal with this. So my heart goes out to you. It was a frustrating way to be trained to do the game. Like, intrusive thoughts were a frustrating tutorial and then a frustrating game trigger that would normally be a graphic or a button. Like, push the button now, you know, like, and that didn't happen. So I was constantly getting whacked from behind by some ghoul-faced muscle Viking. And that's just frustrating. Is it the end of the world? No. You can overlook it. It's not so broken that it's unplayable. It's just annoying, you know? So, yeah, I just wanted to get those pieces out.
Or any.
Yeah. Do you think, like, how do I ask this question without being a jerk? Do you think there's any limits on what is a worthwhile negative experience that art can pursue in this medium?
I don't know what you
so
mean.
Like, I use the example in my rant of Crucifixion Simulator, right?
Oh, yeah, like, I talk about this all the time. Yeah. Well, first of all, having played through RE4 VR and being really, I'm on lock now with, I don't get motion sick and I like the scary. Like, I'm good. I love VR. I'm fully acclimated. So RE4 VR was a delight.
That's great.
I think about this a lot now when I play these types of games. This would be a great VR title because
yes,
the HUDlessness and the groundedness, if you swung the sword yourself for real, that would be enough. That would make it engaging enough that the whole game would feel, I think, flawless. But it's not. So it's just pressing some buttons and it's, you know. So, yeah, I agree with all that. And I've talked about speaking of VR, which is why I bring it up. I think it will be weird for me, and I don't know if this will be considered old-fashioned or whatever. Not that there should be limits to art, and people have always tried to do this. There's like The Story of the Eye, which is a book written way back in the day where you're like, oh, I thought people were proper in those times. No, humans have always tried to imagine the most extreme thing they could, right? It's just natural. So it's a story about like cutting out a guy's eyeball and shoving it up your genitals and stuff written in like Victorian England. And it was passed down because A, it has philosophical underpinnings, but B, just to show that like people have always been nasty, even in times where we think of it as repressed, like the 50s in America or what have you. Yes, that exists, but there's always an underground of secret, horrible stuff. And I wonder about, like, it will inevitably happen. So, like, in 30 years, what if there's haptic feedback and it is photorealistic and there's a VR rig that is as incredible as we think, and someone's like, here's an app that you can just, like, kill a child in a room with a hammer.
Right.
And I'm telling you, dude, it feels really like it would really feel like to do that. I'm like, well, what are we doing here? So, yes, there's a limit. I don't know where it is.
Okay.
But we're headed towards it.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out what it is.
But I've often thought about Child Murder Simulator and like who would play that.
Right.
Some teens.
Some monster
for sure.
would play it.
Because
when
I was 17, 18, 19, I wanted those experiences. Like, I went online searching for horrible shit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's I think that's a fairly common experience.
The liberal in me wants to be permissive for nearly anything, as long as the endeavor itself is attempting to make a meaningful comment. Not even a comment I agree with, just a meaningful comment.
Good faith comment.
Yeah,
good faith
a good commentary. Faith, meaningful comment.
That's it.
Right.
If your only thing is to get lulls or to make someone angry, you're allowed to do that. But I'm also allowed to think you have some kind of psychological challenge that makes you feel the need to do that. Because making people angry with no point has no point or whatever, you know? Or if you haven't grown out of that, that's like your deal to work out.
Right, right.
But as long as you're making a good faith comment that you really believe, and these people are clearly trying as hard as they can.
They
to
absolutely
do that,
are. Yes.
I respect the shit out of that. Yeah.
The endeavor is, I don't think any reasonable person would say the endeavor is meaningless, or that the endeavor is in bad faith or bad. So I'm repeating myself here, but you know, the game is good as a piece of art for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, like, I come back to games are for fun, like, and in that way, it's pushing the limits of how little fun is expected out of a game. And you know, this one, very, very
the
little.
Best game of all would do both.
Yes, the best game and of all would do both. Yeah. Correct. Which is why we like Last of Us so much, because I think Last of Us is trying to do both.
And I said best story. I wouldn't say best game because Last of Us, the gameplay is actually fun. I know there's people who say it's not the most fun ever, but I find it thoroughly sneaking around, especially in 2.
I love
sneaking
Last
around,
of Us.
Killing people, yeah. Shooting it. It's clean. It's good gameplay. And this is not.
I've heard people, in fact, on a recent IGN podcast I happen to listen to, argue that the game has become less meaningful because of the TV show. Because the game itself is not that good. It's just the story that was
or
good.
Represented in the show.
Yeah,
like,
and
they
I
don't
just disagree
spend
with
hours
that.
Going around
I disagree with that in every way.
No, it's fun. Clearing out a room in Last of Us 2 is really fun.
And meaningful. It's the choice to kill is meaningful there, just like the choice to kill in this game is meaningful. You know, like you're killing because it's the only way to overcome the intrusions. And or in Last of Us case,
it just does the thing that so many games still do, where you single-handedly kill more human beings without yourself getting killed than anyone has in the history of the Earth.
Agreed.
Like you kill 700 people without getting injured. That's not possible.
Right.
Luck.
It's stupid.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all video games though. So, I think it's time for a second break,
Agreed.
And we'll get into our final segment, where we will decide whether aliens get to see us at our weakest and most vulnerable. So we'll see you on the other side.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
I shouldn't even have said weakest. We're back this one up some shit, but most vulnerable.
Pure
most
regret.
Vulnerable tracks.
Yeah.
Well, I just went through this program about having a healthier relationship with your mental challenges. So
that's good. I would argue, by the way, if for those of you who are thinking of trying this and haven't, so one thing that I think is mandatory is you should play this with headphones if you can. The sound design, by design, I don't just mean what's in the soundscape, but the way that it's mixed, like, so the way that the sounds occur in your audio, like your 360 degree audio sphere, is meaningful, and it is really rewarding to play it with headphones. And if you don't do that, I think you're missing out on something very essential to what makes the game great. You know, so you should try that. Anyway, didn't mean to distract us. Are we passing our final checkpoint, Mike?
We are passing our final checkpoint, which means we're healed. We're good now. It's over.
You feel great.
That's good. Oh, that's good.
Open world,
we
the clock
got Dillian's
for us.
Soul back.
What if the sequel was just her having a wonderful time in the village?
Well, it seems from the little peeks we've seen that she's become a leader. So yeah. I imagine they see her as some kind of seer leader or shaman leader.
Right.
But what if it's no? She's like... she's neuronormal now.
I think
I doubt it.
That would be a huge mistake. I don't think they're gonna
huge mistake. Big mistake, huge. This is keep or delete, where we decide if the game makes it on a celestial hard drive that aliens will see in a million years and judge humanity thereby. It's not full yet. It can hold 100 games, so we're still playing with house money and probably will be for another, I don't know, year, but then we'll start making real tough choices. I'll go because it's an easy answer. Because I do value story so much, and I've already done this in the past. Like, I've put not fun games on the drive, and I'll try again. I would keep it. It makes choices that are fair. It's like if Ari Aster directed The Northman. It makes choices that in film most competent directors do, but are almost unheard of in games, like... she collapses and everything around her fades to black because she's unconscious, but she's dreaming. So in her unconsciousness, she's in this black void and her reflection is beneath her, and her reflection turns into Dillian, and they have a brief conversation about how he's her only support. Well, he's visually her only support in the space. Shit like that, where you're like, yeah, movies do that all the time, but games don't. Mm. And I love shit like that. So I'll try to keep
it. The filmmaker in you loves this game. God, yeah. This is a really tough one for me. I do think the story is transcendent and artistically viable. But this is not a good game. Like, the game of it's not good. Like, I
grant that, counselor.
Yeah, I think... on a celestial hard drive that only contains 100 games, even with the extreme heights that it reaches in terms of storytelling, the game itself being so rudimentary and bland and frustrating and miserable really has to count against it. So I think I'm going to delete it. Pitch me this again if you really hurt, if it hurts you and you care. Right. Pitch it again. I bet I'll be, because I'm going to feel guilty about it.
Or like you'd think about
I'm gonna
it.
Stew on it, but I really feel like as a
don't be yourself
as
up.
A custodian, I feel like I gotta say no to this one.
I don't think I'll bring it up until Saga comes out, because I do have a lot of faith in this team. Of course, the ability to tell a great story doesn't always conspire to make lightning in a bottle where you're also great at game mechanics. But I'm hoping that they see that a longer, more ambitious game will need more ambitious gameplay. It's amazing what they did, that considering it's a AA or indie, you know, however you want to categorize it. So I'll probably wait for Saga, because maybe Saga
it'll surpass
fingers
it.
Crossed. Maybe Saga will fix this.
It's possible. Yeah, we'll see. If it does, wonderful. But it also might be a sort of Horizon Forbidden West situation where it's like,
more of the same.
Or like the main conceit here just isn't going to quite make it. You know,
And Forbidden West still very good, but it didn't like top the first one in the way.
No,
that I thought
it
might.
Would. Yes, and it didn't. Yeah. So, but just for all of you guys out there who have never played this game and might be interested in it, to me, it's the game equivalent of something like the Museum of Jurassic Technology, a reference I bring up from time to time, which is
very few people.
It's
will
a
know
Los
that,
Angeles. It's a Los
it.
Angeles
yeah.
museum where the experience of it is unpleasant. But it has like such focused purpose that it's actually It's great in that way. And, you know, so if you have a personal experience with these issues, or if you're looking for a really interesting artistic statement about these issues, this is a great game to try. And I think you'll enjoy it for those reasons, right? So I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. I would also, it's a magical realism museum about museums and curation. Yes. So it's
that's what Jurassic Technology
and so you
is.
Go, you look at the displays and you're like, it looks like a museum display, but it's a satire of it where you're like, I don't understand what the display is analyzing or the thing it's analyzing is not true. Like, I know that didn't happen. And then you slowly realize the theme of the museum is curation itself. It's weird. It's just a weird place to go when you're high.
When you're high, for sure. But it's awesome
when you realize that.
I
live down the block. Like, so we would just smoke a joint on the walk there, of course.
That's right. You did live really close to it. Yeah, it's awesome experience once you realize that, though. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, this is so funny and interesting.
That's why I spoil it. I actually think it's more rewarding knowing going in, not mystery boxing
it. Well, fair enough. If you've listened and maybe somehow missed it, I had a great time after about 45 minutes of, like, what the hell is this, when I did realize what it was. And I was like, oh, yeah. Anyway, that's it. Are we done, Swaymo?
That's right, but there's way more of us jabbering on a wide variety of topics, including a show I do called Tales from the Pit about mental health challenges, and I have a whopper of an episode coming out where I'm going to talk about my recent foray into just really crushing it and developing all kinds of new skills. And I thought about Senua's Sacrifice a lot as I was doing this concentrated period of developing a healthier relationship with my own issues. Anyway, there's also a bunch of other stuff. We talk about movies mostly, but Adam does one with our friend Maggie Fish, who you may know as a YouTube video content creator, just about friendship. So that could be albums. It's mostly music or movies or shows, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, the free stuff you can find just by searching Small Beans.
Small Beans.
The stuff that's behind the paywall, by which I mean you give us $3 to $5 a month, no big deal, is over at patreon.com/smallbeans.
That's right.
Plug done.
Mike, I'm going to drop your skull off the cliff, but in a good way.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you did it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.